Welcome back to Owen and Brew's Barbecue. Today it's so something so special. I don't even have something to name to serve it up. We can call this lightning fast, right? Like this is like electric.
Force lightning fast.
Force lightning fast. Today I am joined by the ever growing in the force and the ways of the Jedi is Jay. Jay is here. Joined with myself. Nick is gone. He's MIA. I think he disappeared, vanished like a ghost.
Nick's gone to the land of the Nickernet, so he won't be seen again forever.
But we are going to serve up some instant reactions, some fresh takes. Jay and I have just actually watched it separately in our own respective places with our own respective kids. Mm-hmm. And so if you haven't seen Rise of the Skywalker, turn it off now. Don't even bother.
Last chance.
Because we're just going to talk about it. So and this is going to be just kind of a patrons exclusive for just JNR's instant reaction. We will for all the patrons that are wanting Nick's nitpicks, they will be coming. Don't worry. We're going to give him all the time he needs to pull all the resources from all the different places of the internet.
Here's the thing. Like I'm kind of bummed we're not getting Nick's initial take because it's before all of angry internet or angry Star Wars Twitter influences his actual opinion. Because he liked The Last Jedi before the rest of the internet hated it, and then he changed his mind. So I'm calling you out, Nick.
Yeah,
a formed opinion, not an informed opinion.
I do wish we would have Nick's instant reactions. I know he saw it last night. I believe.
Oh, we should have him call in. You should have him just call in to the phone line or something.
Oh, that would have been good.
You know what? I'm gonna message it right now and see.
Okay.
While we're recording, and then maybe we could put it on or something.
That sounds great. So as Jay is doing that, and this is like I'm saying, this is so lightning fast. I mean, like, we were kind of messaging like, hey, you know, are you up? Are you want to talk? To the point,
a podcast booty call. It's just like,
and typically in a podcast booty call, someone like my wife is like, of course you're podcasting. Like, really? You got it. We just saw this. Like, so tuck the kid.
And it's like, can I go talk to Matt for like half an hour? Only half an hour, I promise.
Yeah, exactly. Like, please, I just want to talk. Yeah. The entire car ride home with my family, it was just like, ba-bing, ba-bing, ba-boom. Like, I was the one that was being quiet, and my kids, yeah. And my wife, well, it just...
So how old are your kids? I took Zach. Colleen, actually, she was supposed to be there from the beginning, but she had kind of something come up. So she couldn't get there until maybe like 30 minutes into the movie. So she missed the very beginning of the movie. So we have to go back and see it again so she can see the beginning. But he's not super into movies. So he was kind of just humoring his old man. So thank you, Zach. Like he kind of kept his questions to a minimum. He's seen every movie, and we were kind of doing a rewatch leading up to it. But we walked out and he was like, Dad, it was too scary. I don't want to see that one again.
Wow. Yeah, it was pretty intense there with all the lightning flashes. And
he's a scaredy cat.
And well, in The Emperor, I mean, there were moments where my daughter, who is way older than your son, but she is a scaredy cat. And the fact that during the trailers, I mean, she's just like, she's got her head underneath. And I'm like, it's okay. It's just James Bond. It'll be all right. It's a trailer. Yeah. You know, but yeah, those scenes with the Emperor, it was one of like watching a horror film. Like she had it almost up to her eyes, like ready to like cover in case something scary happened. So, I looked over at one point when spoilers. I mean, we're just gonna dive into them, but there's a moment where two characters kiss.
Yep.
Rey and Kylo.
And Ben, it's Ben.
Oh, Ben, yes. Sorry, yes, it's Ben at that point. So Ray and Ben, they have a moment. And I look over at my daughter, who's just like, she just like, was so, that was the worst part for her. She was still complaining about, like,
Really? The kiss?
Yeah, the kiss. Yes.
My initial take here.
Okay.
I loved this movie until Ben Solo died. I was just like, what? Together and he dies? Come on. I wanted to see them have super Skywalker Palpatine babies. Come on. But I dug all of it, you know, and I really liked Last Jedi. So I'm one of those people that really enjoy that film. Like, sure, Canto Bight's kind of whatever. Right. You can be nitpicky about it, but like I out of this new trilogy, I think I still like that one the best.
It's still to me as well. I'm kind of, and again, Rise of Skywalker is pretty fresh, but when I think about like some of the imagery, some of the themes like that we got, and I also like the fact that this movie did address The Last Jedi. Like, there were several moments that brought it back, as far as like her maybe falling into the same trap that Luke did.
Yeah,
like going back, like just like throwing it all away.
Mm-hmm. And it was almost direct when she throws the lightsaber. Uh-huh. Don't throw away, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
There are people talking about it's like a lot of fan. It is a lot of fan service, but there's a lot of cool stuff like that, like Leia's lightsaber and that scene that they had between each other.
I love that scene.
The fact that Leia was like in it as much as she was, I thought we were just going to get like a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a replay of them hugging in front of the Millennium Falcon. I thought that's all we were going to get.
Yeah.
I thought they did a pretty good job of that, and even having like her facial reactions, and then have the other characters basically kind of like, well, she's thinking this or whatever.
Right.
Pretty good job of kind of having her in it much more than.
I felt like as much as they could, and it was, they definitely had like one hand tied behind their back with Leia, I felt, which I think the movie suffered from that. Like, had she been alive, I think it would have been even stronger.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that they pulled her in with the fact that as soon as she healed him, there's this moment that where I feel like Leia's there with him, and it's, they're kind of combined, because like when he disappears at the end, she disappears. So I like the fact that, was she keeping him alive that whole time?
Don't know. It's a good question.
So,
and yeah, I think I love that. I love the scene like Han Solo being there with Ben, and like,
My gosh, that. To me, that was like probably one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Like when we were, my family, as we're driving home, everybody's like, well, what about this? And what? By the way, my son, at some point we were all like, come, okay, you're wrong. Because he kept doing like, well, what if Rey is actually really a Skywalker and the Palpatine thing? And I'm like, no, you're wrong. It was explained. Just, okay. But, oh God, what was I going to say?
You're talking about like Han Solo and
yeah, that was the one scene that, like, as I'm riding home, I'm like, I was really excited to see how that played out. I like the callback. I like how it changed. I like it. In fact, I felt like his redemption was more earned in some ways than Anakin's.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where, to me, I was just disappointed that he died in the end, because I really liked his journey in this story. I loved, you know, where she told him, like, I wanted to take the hand of Ben, you know?
Yeah.
And then him having that moment with Han Solo and being connected to his mom again, and then, like, throwing the saber off, and then him showing up and using Luke's saber, saber to kind of take on the Knights of Ren. I thought that was great, you know? Like, him carrying, like, the third Skywalker to hold that lightsaber. Like, the imagery there was awesome.
And even the imagery of the two Jedi, like, going up against the Sith at the very end. Like, you have an arena full of Sith ghosts, basically.
Yeah.
And you have these two Jedi standing there, like, with the glowing blue sabers. I love the imagery of that.
I liked how, what did they call it, like a diadem? Was that what they were?
I'm not sure why they didn't just go with the Sith holocron, but okay, whatever. It's a new, new kind of.
But the whole like, and then how the Emperor got his groove back, like that was okay. But I just, I don't know. Like, I don't know about you, but I was really disappointed in Ben Dye, because I was just like, I loved his redemption, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want to be different. I wanted them to kind of go off together and kind of start anew. Like, and even Rey's, like, how her storyline, you know, she built her own saber, which I loved. And I love how she kind of let Luke and Leia's saber. She buried it in Tatooine. Like, I dug that. I think Ben should have lived in the end. That's my only nitpick, if I have one, because I really wanted them to be together. Maybe I was just shipping them too hard.
There was, okay, so speaking of shipping, there was a lot of shipping kind of back and forth too. Like at one point I was just like, whoa, are we going to get a Poe Rey ship thing happening here? But then when Zori's character was introduced, I felt like we were getting a little bit of
love his story.
Yeah.
Like everybody as I was walking in the theater was talking about her and that character, how they loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, there was one stereotypical Nick-esque Star Wars. Like, well, I just didn't realize a lot of plot hole, blah, 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 but I like Carrie Russell. So if you want, that'll probably be Nick in like a week. But
I like how you're trying to guess what Nick's picks are.
Yeah, pretty sure. It's like, well, it's a little, but the Carrie Russell character. But anyway, I love her character was really cool. I'd love to see Poe and what's her character's name again?
Zori Bliss.
Zori, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
all the action figure.
Yeah, I think one of my kids kept calling her Lori, which I thought was even funnier. Like that's the Earth name.
It's also nice to see another J.J. Abrams. You know.
Oh yeah.
Are kind of come in because. We had Greg Grunberg and Kerry Russell from Felicity, right?
That was right. Show. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other kind of moments that stood out, like how the movie started off really like intense, and really fast. Sorry, I'm getting kind of warble here.
Yeah, me too. I have to restart my computer.
And we're back.
We are. Anywho,
we were talking about Zori Bliss and all of that bliss.
Yeah, she was dope, and the Spice Runner thing I thought was funny. But you're right; it like dropped right into it with the introduction of Palpatine. I thought it would probably take a minute to get to there.
Yeah, it hit the ground running.
Yeah, yeah,
And it just kept revealing all of these things. And we even saw like clones of Snoke in that one tank.
Yep.
So that was kind of an interesting like little call out. Cause you know, we all had our theories. Okay. So what about the revelation that she was a Palpatine? Like at what point did you,
that's the only kind of like the granddaughter, like when did he fight? Like, so I think there's maybe just let the mystery be, like, I don't care, you know?
Sure.
But so that was just a little bit of like, to me, it maybe make more sense that it was like one of his clones or something that he tried to make, and then that's what made her. But
that would make sense, and maybe we'll get even more of a backstory as now this is filled in. I mean, one of the things I've been kind of critical of Disney during this new trilogy is that we don't get a lot of these three characters hanging out together in comic form, or you know, I mean, with the original trilogy, it's just like Luke, Leia, Han, they were all zooming across the universe doing stuff, right? Like you could have all of these like stories, and for the most part, this era of Jedi to Resistance has been just locked down. Like, you know, like we don't know what's happening. And so now that I feel like maybe with this in the bag, like can we please have more?
Yeah.
So
and I know like it seemed, I guess the actors are all like, we're done, because
yeah,
you know, and I don't blame them, because somehow somewhere, and I talked about this on Ralph's podcast, but somehow somewhere along the way Star Wars fans have become the worst and have, I think, ruined
yeah, I mean, I know that Daisy definitely like had that moment shortly after the Force Awakens was released. I mean, she was very open with her being on social media or whatever. And then after that, it was just like lights out, which, I mean, you're an attractive, you know, leading role, you know, in a Star Wars movie. And she was just like a lightning rod for both the creeps, the weirdos, the cool people, you know, and just everyday fans. So, anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm fine if we don't see any of these characters again, I guess. Like, did you feel like though it was like the final, like,
yeah, and I kind of wish it had maybe more, like when they showed the Force Ghost Luke and Leia, like I wanted to see every mother trucker out there. I wanted to see Yoda. I wanted to see Anakin. I wanted to see Qui-Gon. Because there's kind of that moment where I'm pretty sure like everybody's voices were in there. Like there were,
yeah,
Ewan McGregor. I'm pretty sure it was a Hayden Christensen. And like, so that was cool. But then I wanted, like, okay, this is the last one. I want to see every Force Ghost Jedi. Just and put Ben out there too. Like, if Ben has to die, at least put his Force Ghost, maybe they can like still be together, but like a Force Ghost and her, maybe a little bit, you know, that's Star Wars ghosts.
Maybe they were trying to avoid like that end game scene, you know, like where you have like all of these like good and all of the evil like clashing together, you know, in some kind of, I mean, I get it. The fan service, you know, you kind of want that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie was, oh, there was a crap ton of fan services. So why, if you're going to do it, just go for it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
Hey, like, I did not expect Billy Dee Williams Lando to, like, nail it as well as he did. Like, it was, I was kind of, like, from the trailers, like, oh, he kind of seems a little too old. But no, like, he nailed it. Like, it felt like no time had passed, even though, sure, he's older, but it felt like no time had passed between even, like, last time we saw Lando and now. I thought it was really, he did a really good job.
Yeah, even seeing him like on the panel, you know, when they had the Rise of Skywalker panel and he came out, I was kind of like, is he okay?
Yeah,
like, you know, like I was kind of wondering, you know, like how, I don't know, I mean, I was call me skeptical. I did like his character. You know, I felt like it did leave a lot of questions there still. Like, okay, so is she his daughter? Like, you know, like, is Jaina, like...
I think we're going to go try and figure out what your family... I don't know. It's kind of
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I mean... I mean, there was a moment there, too, where you're like, are they trying to have Jaina and Finn be, like, brother and sister? Yeah. Or is it the fact that they're just orphans together?
Yeah,
like they themselves are orphans.
So, yeah, that's where kind of like I loved everything, and then after the Ben dying, I was like, man, the way they tied it up at the end, I just don't think they didn't really tie it all together. Like, I think they had everything there. I didn't think,
yeah,
if this is the last one ever, it didn't really feel to that point. Like, because everything else, like, I think had the emotional punch, you know, like. Ben, like, I think we've talked about Ben, like, even Leia's death, like, in you know, Chewie falling to the floor, like, I was like getting misty because I was like, oh my god, and I thought they handled that really well. And the Palpatine coming back was kind of like, okay, like,
yeah,
it definitely felt like kind of pulling it out of their butts, him showing up in this movie. Thought, you know, it made sense that he's the one that's been pulling the strings the whole time, but him being kind of like, just, it's tougher because then you just don't, it's harder to feel the impact of him being beaten in the end, like him, like, out of the equation for however long, and then him all of a sudden showing up is like, oh crap, now we got to beat him again. And so the weight just wasn't as heavy on that for me, but yeah.
I mean, I was really more with the Kylo and Rey story and Ben, you know, I was kind of more with those characters. Those are the characters that I wanted to be with in the movie, even when it came to scenes with Finn and Poe. And I did really enjoy the fact that they were on adventure together finally. Yeah. You know, if Force Awakens was the setup for these characters, you know, that was the one thing Last Jedi tried to push them into, all of these different areas where they felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I liked Rian Johnson's approach to that with those characters. But I think the thing that we missed was that A New Hope, like, hey, we're a band and we're all together on this adventure together. You know, it had that kind of rolling feeling.
That's why I'm fine with Last Jedi, because Empire Strikes Back, they're all separated.
That's true. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We just didn't get it with Force Awakens, where it was like Finn, Poe, and Rey. Like, it's this three against the
Because I don't think Poe was originally supposed to be like part of the crew, you know.
Right.
I think he just was so popular in that movie that he kind of stuck around. And I think they've said that.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was intended to be.
He was the Ben Linus of the.
This movie kind of filled in that kind of Han Solo cocky, you know, pilot thing. And like, again, his relationship with the Zori Bliss.
Yeah. I only know that because it came on a.
At the end where you saw like, eh? She's like, no.
No. Only.
And then there was, in terms of, I don't know. Like, it's just, I feel like it could have been better. It could have been, like, at least, you know, if Return of the Jedi was kind of not anticlimactic in the end, but at least, like, the dub song was pretty dope. Like, I'm,
yeah.
And it's one of the few things where Lucas added in. I kind of liked the, like, showing all of, you know, the universe, you know, being like, yeah, or the galaxy, yeah, let's go, we're going.
It's weird because, I mean, with the special editions, it's like, I'm a purist in the fact that I love the Yub Nub version and how it's just stripped down and just kind of like, you know, and I mean, I love that vinyl. I love that record.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
With the special edition, it is the one part of Jedi that I do actually enjoy is the celebrations around the galaxy. Yeah. Everything else with the special edition for Jedi can suck it. I mean, Jedi Rock sucks. I mean, like, there's just so much of the specialized version of Jedi that, I mean, even all of the Hayden Christian's add-ins and the no, and I mean,
the no is the thing that was just like, I was going to buy that Blu-ray set. And once I heard, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Did not buy it. And even still, it's hard to watch it now because it's on Disney Plus. So when I was doing my rewatch, and I've seen the original trilogy so many times, like I know it, like, I can rewatch it in my mind. But like starting to like rewatch the special editions, first time I've done it in a while, I was just like, God, it just kills the pacing of A New Hope, like so bad, like it throws it off. Which, you know, New Hope is one of the best edited movies ever because it basically was saved in editing.
Yeah.
So like effing up with that timing, I think is tough.
And maybe it's part of the pacing of Rise of Skywalker. Like the pacing of it is so frenetic. Like we're just like rolling towards the end, like at breakneck speed. And in doing so, I kind of wonder if, I don't know. There's just, it's not the best. It's not my favorite Star Wars. It's going to take me a couple different rewatches to like, you know, like really drink it in. I mean, I felt like I had ate a meal with The Force Awakens where I was like, even if I knew what the meal was, if this was a happy meal and it's a complete carbon copy of A New Hope and we can see those parallels, with this one, you know, it just felt like I scarfed it down. Like as I'm driving, like it feels a little, the pacing, I guess.
Well, and I heard like JJ felt like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders to, and it seemed like they, like Disney was, has just gotten so freaked out by the response to The Last Jedi, which I don't even know if that's the total response, but like they felt like they had to somehow like some steer in a different direction and like somehow get to Endgame. But Endgame had like 22 movies to get to Endgame.
Right.
Do Endgame for only two movies that they had before. And they just had to get so much stuff in there that I feel like some of the things didn't have as much impact as they probably could have had. If maybe they structured this trilogy a little bit better.
And I'm kind of with you on the, I mean, I understand the voices of the Jedi like coming in, they're all within her, right? Like the voices of the Jedi. Like I'm fine with hearing the voices. I think for some of us fans though, like, we wanted to see Ahsoka, like show me Ahsoka's Force ghost, or, you know, if she's still alive, great. She's still alive. But like some of those other characters that have been there, like, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, like there's a ton of Star Wars fans that will get it, you know, and the rest of the ones that are casual viewers will just be like, oh, that must just be another Jedi. I don't know yet. and it can be as such. One thing that, and I we've done a lot of Owen and Bruce recently, so I can't remember everything that Nick and I have talked about. So I apologize, but you know, one of the unfortunate casualties was Solo in the Last Jedi fallout. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you had when it came out. And I wonder if Disney had just shown a little bit more confidence in the fact that like not every Marvel movie was like the best. Yeah. And if they would have just like kept going with them, you know, perhaps shown a little bit more like, yeah, it's okay, guys, we got this. Like, and instead they're really like pensive, and you can almost kind of feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, you know, I think something like that, The Mandalorian, and again, I think there's critiques you can make about The Mandalorian, but I think at least what it gets right is, just taking what's there and kind of just building a story out from it. And if, you know, if Favreau, if they're going to give him the keys to the kingdom in terms of mm-hmm. the person kind of running that story, plus all the people that have contributed to Mandalorian, maybe, but just kind of start. And then what's, I don't know that guy's name from the Clone Wars.
Oh, like, Filoni. Yeah.
Hey, bringing him into the mix. Right. There's just so much story there. Mm-hmm. And to me, like the thing that I liked about The Last Jedi the most is just, it kind of, it broke the formula a bit, and it in the end, it just felt like this can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And instead it kind of went back like, we gotta get all this shit and we gotta fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. And I don't mind us jumping into the middle of the story. Like the way that it opened, I actually enjoyed the fact that we were getting some of that stuff, like just right off the cuff. Like, it's something that I've always loved about A New Hope. We jump right into the action as it's happening, and we're swept up. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nick here, because there's a lot that I liked about Rise of Skywalker. It was a lot.
So much that I did like. Again, like I thought Lando was great. I thought C-3PO, that stuff was great. Like, I thought it seemed out of place in the trailer, but I
can't
hear me. That's what was going to happen. But you know, that was cool. I loved R2-D2 and Poe Dameron's starfighter. X-Wing. I love Luke's X-Wing coming back into it. Like,
oh, that was really
pulling up and then having the Yoda music. I was like, woo-hoo-hoo. So there's a lot of stuff I think they nailed.
Yeah.
I just think maybe they just, I feel like I felt the pressure or the weight on all of the people that made that movie's shoulders. It was just like, they're trying to somehow land every single plane. And where it loses it to me is like at that inflection point. Okay, now you've defeated the Emperor. For some reason, Rey has to die, and then Ben has to sacrifice himself for her. I was like, they could have just both lived. Why can't they just both live? And then not really having a way to, if this is the last in the Skywalker saga, I guess if you're, you are saying that Ben's dead, but then she says, I'm Skywalker, which I totally get her taking on the name.
Yeah.
Sense, right? Mm-hmm. Adopting that name. But
well, they kind of adopted her. Exactly. So I felt that it was earned at that moment.
Then I love the yellow lightsaber blade. I thought that was
that was nice.
Because there was a character in or at least for Phantom Menace that was a Plo Koon. I think his was yellow. I think they switched it back to like blue at some point. But
okay.
Well, in the video game for Phantom Menace, Plo Koon had a orange lightsaber, if I remember correctly.
Interesting. The Jedi guards or guardians in the temples, typically they have a yellow lightsaber. So I thought that was kind of it. I mean, for fans that are kind of in the know, and I guess if you want to dive down deeper as to like what her lightsaber might mean, there's those elements there. The fact that, again, if you've watched Clone Wars, like, you know, like, okay, her building her own lightsaber and taking ownership of it, I thought was a pivotal moment for her character, because up to this point, she's kind of held the Skywalker saga in her hands. And now she's like, all right, I've buried it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's done. Yeah. So, And the fact that it was made out of parts from her staff, like, you know, there's a whole ritual, I guess, for Jedi to have a crystal call to them and mm-hmm. you know, this adapting or building of the saber. So, so I like all of those elements and even seeing Luke and Leia like off as Force ghosts. Love that. I love the setting suns. I loved seeing young Luke and Leia fighting together. Yeah, like,
I love that scene.
Yeah.
Glimpse, like, assume that they, you know, he trained her, right?
So right.
Last Jedi, when she like Mary Poppins in space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously she's training the Force. I also love that she was training Rey. I thought that was great.
Yep.
But yeah, that scene was awesome. And they did, you know, the de-aging there. I probably just like, you know, CGI'd it all together. But that was great. And I love that she made her own lightsaber. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, definitely some really like favorable moments. I just think that maybe it is the pacing, you know, like when I watch it again and I know what's coming, like maybe I'll feel a little bit more, less like a rabbit on the run, you know, and maybe that's what they wanted to show us, is that the resistance is so like, you know, frenetic at this point. Now, the one thing I was spoiled on, so there was a few things that you know, I was trying to stay as spoiler-free as possible. I finally just had to remove news from my phone because, like, that's one of those things that I'll go to. It's like, oh, what's in the news, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, removing, like, anything that could possibly spoil me. But there was a headline about, and I haven't gone back to the headline, so I don't even know what country it is. But there was a country that basically edited out, or they're refusing to show the scene where two same-sex couple kisses at really? The end. Yeah, I'm like, it's so small. Like, I mean, if you blink, you missed it.
Anything, I find it's more offensive that was like the one same-sex couple that has like. Like, you're just gonna have like a little token scene, and, like,
right? Right.
That listens to Pod Save America or Love It or Leave It. One of their hosts is gay, and he made a rant like before. It's just like, if they just have some background characters kissing in the end, I'm gonna lose it.
Well, feel free to lose it.
Once I saw that, I was like, oh my god, John Lovett's gonna be pissed.
I would have rather had Finn, you know, and Poe.
It's just like they're obviously like in love with each other.
Yeah.
So just let it be, you know.
They actually, like, instead they gave us a relationship triangle at the very end, mm-hmm. if anything. Like, oh, we don't know who loves who in this.
And like, so it's like, I guess Rose is just there, and somehow Dominic Monaghan is there, just like, oh, hey, Dom. Are you doing okay?
How you holding up there?
So okay, so JJ had a Felicity Starr,
right?
Ray Grumberg. Who?
Any other thoughts from maybe even Colleen? The parts that she did see, I know that she missed the first half hour, so I'm sure she was.
Said she liked it, but she said she doesn't want to. I asked if you want to jump on too with us, and she's like, "No, I need to see the whole thing before I can like give."
Oh, before.
But while recording this, I did come up with my new ranking. All time.
Okay. You've been working there. I like, even before we started, you were like, I gotta get my ranking in order.
Oh, I forgot Solo. Shite. I'm gonna put Solo.
Okay. I'm gonna move this around and carry the two.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna go. So 10 movies, 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
This is not counting Mandalorian because it's a TV. And gotcha. Not counting the two Ewok movies.
Nope, they're not in there at all.
Number 10, I'm putting Attack of the Clones.
Sure.
Aside from Yoda fight, garbage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love scenes are atrocious.
Yeah. Number 9, Solo. Like Solo, didn't blow me away.
Well, I enjoyed it.
I
think you just made Ralph cry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ralph. I liked it. Didn't love it. Then I'm going Force Awakens.
Okay.
Loved it on first take. Was much higher, but in repeat viewing, it's kind of like, I can kind of take it or leave it. Number 7, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
Number 6, Phantom Menace. So this used to be like my last for a long time. But
wow.
On my rewatch, I'm like, actually, I really like this movie. Save for, you know, Jar Jar Binks. But even Jar Jar Binks is not in it that long. So people need to quit being. And then the pod race scene's awesome. And the lightsaber mm-hmm. duel is the greatest lightsaber duel ever.
And can we just, like, okay, even Anakin going up in the little zoom ship and, you know, doing his little, like,
yeah, that was fun. Like, I watched it with Zach, and he loved that scene.
I'm sure, because it he could watch it, and he wasn't scared to death like this movie.
Yeah.
But the pacing in the last act of Phantom Menace, I think, is miles above where Rise of Skywalker pacing, yeah, like in the end. It's, yeah, just like, even when Palpatine was gone at the end, I was like, okay, so I guess we're good here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, like, wrap it up, guys.
Yeah, right? Just like, all right, we got 5 minutes. Let's go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Ben's dead.
they can't just have a moment of peace in the galaxy? All right, so after that.
Yeah, six Phantom Menace. Five, The Last Jedi. Really like The Last Jedi. Is there pacing issues? I do think there's pacing issues in that, too. I think Canto Bight scene kind of, like, stalls it a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the blasting through the fleet, I thought that was amazing seeing it in theater. And I love the whole Jedi story. It made perfect sense. And I think it tied into the prequel trilogy really well to be like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like, the Jedi effed up. Like, they did. You know, they allowed this to grow underneath their nose. So, anyway, Last Jedi, number five. Number four, Rogue One. Loved it. The Vader scene at the end, even though it's like 5 minutes, but the whole movie is really good. Number three, Revenge of the Sith. Again, rewatching them, like, it's aside from, again, the stiff love story and the really quick turnaround for Anakin, it still made sense, you know, because he's trying to save Padme. The part that really was quick for me was just like, well, why did he turn on Padme so fast? But whatever. The kind of the breakdown between Anakin and Obi-Wan is still so emotional, and it resonated. And
you got Order 66. I mean, the building of the Death Star, like the birth of the twins.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And even her dying is like, whatever. But still, I guess we had it. May have had the same thing. Like, all right, she's got to die somehow. Broken heart. So we'll never claim Lucas as, like, you know, a literary genius when it comes to some plot devices. But all right, and then number two, Return of the Jedi. I got Return of the Jedi number two.
You're gonna run out of room here because you still have two left.
Who am I missing?
Well, what's your number one? Empire?
One is Empire.
Okay, so then where are you gonna put A New Hope? The one that started it all.
Yeah, but I didn't even put A New Hope on one. Sorry. ANH is number two, and then Return of the Jedi is number three. There we go. Damn, there's 11?
Yeah, there's 11 now.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Yep. Yeah. There, so, A New Hope, number two, Return of the Jedi, number three. And then Empire Strikes Back, number one.
Okay. Yeah, and then that just bumps down all of them. So,
yeah,
okay. So Attack of the Clones does not even make your top 10.
Yeah, not even top 10. Sorry, Attack of the Clones.
I think that's fair enough. So
even though, again, the Yoda, I know people kind of poo-poo on it now, but I remember in theater, I remember
people were excited. And then once that scene happened with Yoda, like, that was the thing that they would show in the trailers to try to get people in.
Like, it was everything everybody talked about. I remember, like, that Yoda, though, oh my god, it was like, we were fanboying out, and then it's only like years later they're like, that movie was shit. But in the rewatch, it did not fare well, and I was like,
yeah, it was a really clunky love story in there in the middle that just does not work. It just, I think looking back too, like, the one love story that worked was, and maybe it was just the tension actually between Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, but, you know, I mean, it was there in the background for real. But, you know, is the fact that they fought, you know, and I thought that they were setting that up with Poe and Rey at the beginning here, only to kind of be like, oh no, like, that's not what was going on there. So
it's Poe and Finn all the way. They have the real chemistry.
I think they do. Yeah. And Rey is just going to be her own person. I think that was the thing that, like,
I liked the kind of the chemistry between I did like the chemistry between Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley. Like, so I was down. Mm-hmm.
When they came, like,
Super Force babies, let's go. Guys, there's one thing I'm just pissed off is Ben's dead. Because I was pumped that he had his redemption.
I feel like there's something there, though, with the Leia. And I'm kind of curious now of what the novelization will be like. And
yeah, we'll get more details.
Get a little bit more detail there, yeah. Because I felt like she gave her Force energy to him or something to keep him going through that or something. I mean, there's a connection there.
Well, I think it was like transferring whatever. I think because like Rey was so dead, he had to like give all of his life force to her or something. Mm-hmm. She's like, she didn't have to die, man. Come on. Come on. Come on, man.
And then are we to believe that Finn also has the Force? Because there's a moment where he senses it. Yeah. So
the thing that kind of held over from, again, Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi, where it's just like, you know, the Force is not exclusive to the Skywalker family, you know?
Right. So, yeah, it could be opening up the universe there. I do kind of think that like that's how the Force should be. I mean, that's how at least we all believed that it was when we were a kid. If we just worked hard enough, if I just concentrate long enough, this rock's going to move.
That's why I love the end of Last Jedi, where it's like the kid just like gets the broom and it's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, there it is.
So much to process. Definitely be thinking, you know, again, I think, you know, sometimes marketing too, like we see certain things and we're like, oh, those Sith troopers are going to be so badass. Like, can't wait for those Sith. What happened to the Sith troopers? Where are the Sith?
They're just as crappy as the normal troopers.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, just the red makes them easier to shoot? Like, what?
Yeah. The whole, like that, and then the whole, like, he has a fleet buried under the planet. And then I don't know, how does that work?
And were the people just working there like the whole time, or maybe the Sith bodies, were they, I don't know, a lot of follow-up questions to ask about that. But
again, if you have all the Sith bodies there, I want all the damn I want Mace Windu back. Yeah. Come on, I want every mother trucker out there. I want Kit Fisto. I mm-hmm. want all.
I'm with you. All right. I don't know what else I can say. I mean, there's still a lot to process here. My kids loved it. You know, like I said, they would have gone all night long just talking about ideas and theories, and that's all I'm going to get tomorrow from
them.
That's
awesome. That's
great. Yeah. So it, you know, they definitely. My son, you know, he's 9, so, you know, he's not going to look away for anything scary. But my daughter, who's 12, is definitely, like, still skittish about stuff. So, you know, it
That's pretty good, because he gets scared in Disney movies. So, I give him credit. He didn't, like, freak out or anything in the movie. But like,
and the Emperor is super freaky in this movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, dead Emperor.
Yeah, it's like a zombie emperor. Until mm-hmm. Even then, he's like really creepy, like yellow eyes and stuff.
I like the connection of the fact that the dead emperor did need bioelectronic stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Darth Vader had to have a machine to keep him alive. Like the emperor had that.
I like the callback to, you know, like the Sith is able to do things that are deemed unnatural. Set the callback to Revenge of the Sith, right? Because I think it's one of the quotes he said.
Yeah, he does. And for Rebels, and I don't know if it's in the Clone Wars, but you know, the idea of a Sith planet is brought up in Rebels, and so you know, we got to see a little bit more of that, I thought, with this you know, so I like all the scary aspect, the lightning flashing at some point, like I was just like, okay, we get it. I guess the last duel that we get between two like Sith and Jedi is the Ben and Rey in the water, which I thought was an interesting like kind of like opposite of lava, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like opposite of the lava pits, you know.
So. And I love those duels. Like, I love how like they're so strong in the Force, able to like stop the saber from the Force. I thought that was cool.
She flew up and around. Like, I mean, she was doing stuff with the Force that was really, really cool that we just haven't seen.
A Palpatine. Maybe that's just like to get all the freaking bro Star Wars fans to be like, "Oh, she's a Mary Sue." It's like, shut up. She's a crime queen.
I know Nick is still wondering how she has all of this power. So, and Nick will listen to this and be upset and have all of his notes to write in to us about. So, Nick, I hear you.
Yeah, understand. I'm driving.
He's busy right now. We couldn't get a call in from him, and
he needs enough time to see what everybody on the internet says first.
We will have an official breakdown, or not. I don't know if we're going to break it the whole thing down, but we will have another Rise of Skywalker reactions podcast. This one will just remain a patrons exclusive since we have Jay, the owner of Owen and Brews. Thanks for stopping by and frying up something electric. So,
no, thank. I'm glad. I'm glad we were able to chat because I needed to talk.
I know, and I'm trying to be respectful too of your family time. I mean, like I feel like I could still kind of like pick little things out and you know, like what was this creature here and why did we get a blob creature? And Dominic Monaghan was cool with it, which seems really weird.
Yeah,
the slug guy. I was like,
he's just on the Millennium Falcon. Like, well, there's a new guy.
Yeah, like. Can this guy wear a red shirt?
I feel it's a missed opportunity. Like R2 had the plans again. So I was like, all right, let's show R2, you know, some type of like him. I don't know. Like, opportunity.
I actually loved all of the C-3PO that we got. If there was one character that had a strong comeback, like all of his lines, like for me, like, you know, he was the comic relief as he once was, like, you know, breaking the tension for me. So, really enjoyed his moments. So, and not for an instance did I think Chewbacca was dead, like not for one moment.
Happened, I was like, well, there was more than one transport, wasn't there? Because I remember seeing. I was like, he's not dead. I'm pretty sure I'm on another scenes in the trailer.
I did like how it like kind of showed though, like she had that force of power, that electricity, you know, a little foreshadowing there.
Yeah.
So. All right, good stuff, Jay. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hopefully, Chris will be available as well. So when we have our breakdown, so and we'll be back again for The Mandalorian. All of this will happen in the new year. This is my last official podcast of this decade.
I think you've earned a podcasting break, my friend.
Thank you. So
working hard.
Hanging up the hat. Before I hang up the hat, I would like to thank the patrons that do make this show possible. All of them do, but there's a few that just go the extra mile. And I could mention the Amazon affiliate link. I'm sure everybody's got their Christmas shopping done by this point, but
hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. But, you know, Amazon.com/JanJack, get all your Rise of Skywalker needs. Or if you're like Jay and you need to catch up on some of that Last Jedi toys.
I stocked up because they put that stuff on clearance.
$1.95
a piece. I'm in.
Yeah, and my son who asked Santa for the gorilla, asked him for the Resistance bomber Lego Resistance bomber. So I think Santa's gonna come through for this.
Damn, once I picked it to Legos, like I knew it was coming, and Zach was into Legos this year. Holy crap, it's so expensive. Like, we had a budget set aside, and his Lego, like, he only has, like, I don't know, four or five Legos, blew up his Christmas budget.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's insane. So, like, it's basically like getting your kids hooked on cocaine.
Right?
You're like, once they build it, too, you know, it's just like, you know.
It's like they want the next high. It's like, all right, I need another set.
Yeah, I need another set. I need to build.
Do you got any other than
that? Yeah. Got any more of those 800-piece sets hanging around? I need five bags. I need a minimum five bags.
Well, he kept saying this Lego green money train, and it's the thing he asked Santa for. And then I was like, I know, I remember him seeing it at the Lego store. I know this is it. And so we pulled up. It's like $225. Like, what the $225?
Ooh. Yeah, that's well, I knew that your kids would have a serious acquired taste for toys. I mean, knowing your toy collection,
yeah,
so
I guess I've been, it's
my no, hey, I'm right there with you, with my kids. I mean, my kid was asking Santa for Mandalorian toys that don't exist. Santa's list actually lists Beskar. Like, you can just give me Beskar, Santa. That would be good. I'm serious. It's both hilarious and like frighteningly like,
yeah.
Like so.
Are you gonna try and like find like a Smith somewhere and just get like some Empire striked?
Oh my gosh!
Like steel or something like that.
That would be awesome. So anyway, if anybody has any Beskar laying around, just let me know. But I can't seem to find it on our Amazon affiliate link.
God, that's hilarious.
You can also become a patron. Go to patreon.com/JanJack or as Jack always says, just go to janjack.com.
Did you say the names? Did I miss the names?
I have not. I'm going to list them off here because I have actually. Yeah, these are the ones that I used from last episode. So I didn't come up with any fun ones for you guys again. But Jay hasn't heard these. So Adat Tack, Endor Eckhart. Mos Eisley Ed, Mon Mothma Maggie, Joannakin Skywalker.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, and the Drake Awakens.
All right.
I love it. Thank you for all of those the patrons, but those patrons that make this show possible, we especially appreciate it. So
thank you very much.
And enjoy the holiday break here. It's I mean, I looked on the calendar. It's like Hanukkah, Christmas and Kwanzaa, they're all like right together on the
stacked up. They have Boxing Day for our Canadian friends out there. Like, it's a stacked holiday year, yeah. Because sometimes right out over all December, but like, no, it's like bam, bam,
boom, 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 yeah. So, anyway, see you in the next decade. this was a great show. I mean, it was one in a Force Lightning for sure, or 1,000. So
how many Force Lightning shots were there? 1,000,000.
But they only took one Jedi to take them down.
Yeah.
So all right, see ya.